often people are preparing for a divorce long before it happens. I would say about 50% of the time, people are coming in just to gather information. They're just wanting to get ready to get ready.
Hey, hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating, we cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about today's sponsor. The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedule, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. More about how Our Family Wizard can help in a few minutes, but now on to today's show. All right, welcome to WTF Divorce. Today we are lucky to be joined by Tracy Moore Grant. Tracy is a divorce attorney, a mediator, and the founder of the Amicable Divorce Network. How's it going today, Tracy?
Going pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I learned so much from your TikToks and your Instagram page. It's like there's so much content there, but I think we can hop right into it with one of the first steps people do is they need to find a divorce attorney. And you let me know that there are red flags that you should watch out for. So I thought that would be an interesting way to start by talking about what things people should look out for when hiring a divorce attorney.
Exactly. A lot of people don't know. So they just go on Google and go to the first person that pops up. So they need to get some better information.
So let's talk about some of the red flags that people should watch out for when hiring a divorce attorney. And we have this handy tips here. So let's go through that. Talk about why it's so important, Tracy.
So first of all, the tip that's at the bottom there, don't be afraid to meet with more than one divorce attorney and ask questions. A lot of people feel very intimidated to have multiple consults, but you really should. So I would just start your entire process knowing that. Meet with at least two, if not three, if you have the time, to see who's a good fit for you. Because if you have three different appointments, you are probably going to get three entirely different experiences. It's a little bit like dating. You're going to have three different dates. And so you pick one that is the best fit for you.
Let me ask you, what is that like? Is the lawyer, you should go meet with other attorneys, or are they trying to close you on the spot? Because I imagine it's a intimidating process meeting with a divorce attorney for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, most likely, I mean, the attorney would be trying to close on the spot because they maybe have quotas to meet, or they need a new case and they want to make money, right? So you feel like you get any of those high pressure tactics, you know, just know that that is not really, you know, the case. And so unless your legal situation has some sense of urgency about it, you definitely have the time to shop around, to meet with a couple of people and get a couple of different opinions. So don't be intimidated to do that.
So what's the kind of thing you would say at the end of a consultation? I'm going to talk to some other people and get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can say, I'm really, you know, thinking over my options. And if I, you know, choose to move forward, what is the best way for me to do that? Or if I have additional questions, how can I reach you? And that's not uncommon at all to a divorce attorney. Often people are preparing for a divorce long before it happens. I would say about 50% of the time, people are coming in just to gather information. They're just wanting to get ready to get ready. They want to know what sort of documents they need to start collecting. They want to know how much it's going to cost, what it's going to look like, but they're not quite ready to move forward. So from a professional standpoint, that is entirely normal from our point of view to have a consult that isn't exactly ready to move forward with divorce. It's such a big question and a decision to make. And so it's totally fine to, you know, conclude that meeting and say, I'll be back in touch. That's totally appropriate.
Let's talk about some of the red flags you listed here that we should be on the lookout for. Just looking at them, some of the things that I'd want to hear, and you're saying these are actually red flags to watch out for?
Absolutely. So the first one is if the professional you're meeting with, the divorce attorney, lacks compassion and empathy. It's really important to know that for divorce attorneys, we deal with divorce all of the time. And so for us, it is a bit of an emotion neutral type of transaction, you know, so we're assessing a problem and we're trying to jump in there and give some ideas and some results. So, you know, a lot of times if clients are crying, I definitely wouldn't expect your attorney to be crying with you. That would be really unusual. But if somebody is just like completely cold to your situation, you know, just seems like they don't have the time for you, you know, really doesn't seem to have any empathy or compassion, then that's probably how they're going to treat your case without empathy and compassion. And so that's just something I think is a red flag. And it's different from being professional and lacking compassion and empathy and understanding and trying to understand the situation and relate to the client. So two different things. But if you just get this really cold reaction, that's a red flag.
What about the attorney that's I'm the shark, we're going to go get him? Is that something that you want to hear from an attorney?
No. You know, I get asked all the time, you know, can you be a bulldog? And to a divorce attorney, I would be really surprised if, you know, their internal reaction is not cringe when somebody asks you that, because of course, if you're in a litigation position, you can do what's needed for your client, and it's your job to advocate for your client. But if that's all they're talking about is we're going to go fight, 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 that's really expensive. And that's another red flag. And the fact of the matter is that over 90% of divorces, closer to 95%, never see the inside of a courtroom. They resolve either between the parties talking in a mediation, settlement negotiations between the attorneys, and a judge is never passing judgment on their case. So what are you fighting about? You know, what are you paying for? You know, if you're paying this attorney to get angry, that costs money. It costs a lot of money to hire their anger and to have them amplify your issues in the court system. That's probably the most expensive way to vent your problems, is to hire somebody at $350, $400 an hour to yell your anger into the court system. And it also causes a lot of delay. So if you have somebody that sends a really angry letter and then they file a really angry motion with the court, it usually takes at least 90 days for that issue to get resolved. And so here you are sort of marinating in this angry situation, paying this person and not really moving your case forward. So if somebody is only talking about fight, 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 I would really question that as well. They really should be telling you all the different ways that your case can be resolved, because everybody in the divorce industry knows most cases get resolved. So we should be focusing on how to get the best results, how to resolve it efficiently and low conflict, as opposed to how are we going to go to war? Because we all know the war rarely happens.
It's interesting, because a lot of people will probably come in very hurt, and they might have these feelings that they want to get this person. So if the lawyer matches that, they might think, oh, this person's on my side. But even if you have those feelings, you're saying you probably want the attorney to come at it from a different angle, to be the one that is saying, let's slow down and be calm about this.
Absolutely. I mean, most people going through a divorce are hurt. Most of the clients that I meet with are brokenhearted. They expected to be with somebody, you know, forever. They might have children together. They've spent a long time invested in this relationship. They might be hurt. But amplifying their hurt feelings and anger into the court system actually doesn't help that person heal. So at the end of the process, they're going to end up not just a broken person, but also broke financially. And so it is a much better process to say, let's get this done efficiently in a healthy manner so you can co-parent with this person and you still have some dollars in the bank to go on that trip that you always wanted, to pay for therapy, to invest in a new home, and to prepare for your future. Because when you're having a very angry process where the attorneys are just warring with one another, they're the only ones that are profiting from that.
How about these other red flags I see here? I'm going to guarantee results. I know the judge. Those are things that might be red flags.
Absolutely. I mean, if you are an attorney, the fact of the matter is you know who the judge is. You're usually pretty familiar with your judges. You practice in front of a lot. But what I'm talking about is when somebody is sort of saying, oh, like, I know that judge on a personal level, as if that's going to get you some sort of preferential treatment. That is unethical for the judge to be guaranteeing any results or to be giving favoritism to anybody. And so very rarely in the world does that ever occur. A judge is not going to lose their position as a judge over your divorce case. So it's a very serious ethical complaint against a judge if that occurs. And so when attorneys are saying that, like, oh, well, I know the judge and, you know, they always rule in my favor, that just isn't, that's just a lie. It's just not even true. And guaranteeing results is also incredibly unethical and something that should really be treated with caution. Attorneys have every right to say and should be giving opinions, you know, like, well, I've assessed the numbers and I feel like child support would be in this range to this range, and things like that are appropriate. But when somebody says, I guarantee you that if we go to court, you will get alimony, you will get this account, you will get these things, that is just a flat out lie. Because when you go to court, you're handing over your entire life to the discretion of the judge. And you do not know what will happen. Your attorney does not know what will happen. And so you are totally just punting it off to this judge, their personal feelings, their history. And I had a judge one time make a ruling because they had recently watched an episode of 60 Minutes and they felt like that something that they saw in that episode needed to be part of our court order. And so that was new, you know, but when you say somebody else take control of this case, my spouse and I are not able to reach a resolution. So we need this stranger judge to our family to make decisions about our kids and our finances. You have no idea what's going to happen.
So don't get your legal knowledge from LA law and 60 Minutes or something.
No.
Talk to a professional.
Yeah. Like most things, it's not like television. The legal system leaves people broken.
All right. So we talked about red flags of an attorney. What about the questions and the information you should be providing to the attorney? Walk us through what a prepared consultation would look like on our end.
Yeah. So I've developed this divorce consultation checklist, and you can find this on our Divorce Amicably blog, which has content for people going through divorce, or the Amicable Divorce Network blog, which is for our professionals, but you can also find great content there as well. And so this has two different parts to it. So the first part is when you are going to a divorce consult, this is information you need to convey to the divorce professional. These are the important points that you should make sure that you tick off. And then the second part are questions that you should ask the attorney. So one part is information that you should be giving, and the second part is information you should be getting.
And it looks like they're kind of related. So if I'm saying, what do you believe a fair resolution to the case will be? You want to know if those expectations are realistic, like you're kind of setting them up and seeing how they answer.
Exactly. Because people are not knowledgeable about the court system. They don't know what the laws are or how things work. A lot of times somebody has talked to their neighbor whose sister got divorced in another state, and that's their basis of information, or they've gone on Google and you don't know what state or country that information is being pulled from to answer those questions. And things like alimony, asset division, child support vary greatly by state. So if you're looking at your neighbor's sister's divorce in another state as a guidepost for what's going to happen in your case, you're probably going to be really disappointed because it's not going to be accurate. So it's really important to convey to the divorce professional, these are the things that are really important to me. And I always tell people, give me your top three. If you walk away from this process, what are the most important topics to you? And I've had a wide range of things. Obviously, people will say a certain custodial arrangement with children is really important to them. They need X amount of money in their budget. But I've had people who are really passionate about receiving a particular item, a piece of jewelry, a certain stock that, you know, they're really dedicated to. You know, people are very different. And so your divorce professional is not going to know what's important to you if you don't tell them. And so when you lay that out and say, you know, these are the things that are most important to me, they should also be saying, oh, well, you know, that's very realistic. You know, we can absolutely get those things, or saying, gosh, that's going to be a bit of an uphill battle. Because if they're just continuing to yes you to say, oh, yes, we can get that, we can get that, it's probably not realistic, because nobody gets everything that they want in a divorce. You know, you're taking one whole marriage and making two out of it. And so everybody's going to lose a little bit of something. That's just the nature of the divorce process. And so you want to make sure that you're focusing your process on what's most important to you, and that you have conveyed those items to your legal team so that they know and they can help you get those items.
This is super handy, the kind of thing that you should print out, review, almost practice before your consultation, because I guess some consultations are free, some you're paying for, but it's your time, and you want to get your money's worth out of this, you know, 30 minutes with this, with the attorney.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would be a little wary of free consults. Many firms offer what they call a free consult, but it is actually not with an attorney. And so they actually put you with an intake specialist. And so you call that firm, basically fill out an informational form, what date were you married, but they don't actually render legal advice. And the reason that they do that is so that they get you in the door. You've built a relationship with this firm, you've conveyed information to them. And so you might think, oh gosh, I now need to go with them because I've established this relationship, I got this free consult, which actually wasn't a consult at all, because you met with a secretary, for example, and it was only on the phone, something like that. And so often these firms would not consider that to be a legal conflict, meaning if your spouse then calls and wants to retain them, they would say, well, we never rendered the other spouse legal advice, so we're going to go ahead and represent the husband in this scenario. And so you really need to be careful about that. Most attorneys do charge for consults because we are rendering legal advice. We are giving our time for that. And it also means that we could never, ever represent anyone against you. And we also couldn't have any other role in the case. So, for example, if somebody consults with me and then they hire somebody else, I can't be their mediator. I can't be their arbitrator. I can't be their guardian ad litem. And neither can anybody else in my law firm ever. And so it really is a serious legal relationship. And so if attorneys are charging for that legal advice and for that time and for the establishment of that relationship, that's entirely appropriate. So I would actually err on the side of being a little wary of the free consults. And I find that it also really varies by town and jurisdiction, what's normal for the area.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about paid consults and that you should get two or three of them. I know money is a big concern with people when it comes to divorce. I'm not exactly sure what a consult might cost, but you still think it's a good investment ahead of time to have a few of these, even if you are going out of pocket with somebody that you're not going to end up hiring?
Absolutely, because I think you need to see the different approaches to your case and the different ideas that that person might have. It's a very important relationship. You're going to be leaning on this person for their advice and their experience and their guidance. And so it's important to make sure you have a good relationship with that person. Do you find them trustworthy? Are they knowledgeable about the issues that you have in your case? Do you really identify with them? Do you feel comfortable to speak with them about your issues? And so sometimes it takes a couple of dates to find a good one. And so it's a good use of your money. Most attorneys charge maybe a little bit less for a consult, or will meet for a short period of time, like 30 minutes. To be able to establish, you know, that relationship so you can get a good feel of how they work. And compared to the overall case and how important it is, having a couple consults is perfectly fine and something that people should invest in.
Yeah, divorce, I'm sure most people think divorce is so expensive. That's what we all think about. And we think about that end number, but it seems like investing a little more in the beginning might save you thousands of dollars, but it's hard to see that when you're in that fog of divorce in the beginning.
It is. A lot of people have misconceptions about divorce and the cost. And with the Amicable Divorce Network, we actually vet every single member. It's not just attorneys, it's mediators, it's realtors, it's financial professionals, it's mental health professionals. It's anybody who helps people before, during, and after divorce. And what we vet for is experience in family law, having a resolution focus. You're not looking at creating a war, creating conflict. You're looking at how can we get this case resolved, no matter how complicated it is. And the last thing that we vet for is fair billing practices. So there are certain law firms out there that we would never accept any of their members into our organization based on their billing practices, which sometimes they're very open about. You know, there's a lot of people don't realize this, but there's an actual chart out there that attorneys get from this coaching program that basically is you, the attorney's goal is to get a third of the net worth of the parties. There's a similar one that would say, you know, if they have $100,000 in assets, then the attorney should be billing $20,000 at a minimum. And if they have kids, it should, you know, they should be able to bill another amount. And if the attorney doesn't do that, they get in trouble with their employer. They haven't met their quotas. They haven't met their billable hours. They haven't met their goals. And anybody who's a member of the public, frankly, just doesn't know that. But that's something that behind the scenes, as family law professionals, we all know that. We all know who those offenders are, and we know how to spot them. And so with the network, we vet all of our professionals. So if somebody comes and hires one, they know that they've been vetted for being experienced, resolution focused, and engaging in fair billing practices. Because unless you just want to set money on fire, those three criteria should be important to you in your divorce.
Yeah, I love that. You're offering peace of mind. You're doing the vetting ahead of time, because even with my divorce, it was a Google search. Ironically, I ended up with somebody in the amicable divorce
network.
Really
lucky.
I really did. I didn't even know about it. But yeah, I love that idea of like, here's a filter where, you know, anybody in this umbrella, you know, you're going to be cool with.
Your professionals are vetted by their colleagues. So whenever we get an application for a new member, we send that name out to everybody. Do you have experience with this person? Do you know them? And, you know, of course, we're attorneys. We're going to be pretty, you know, like have a pretty high standard there and aren't shy saying if we have bad things to say. So we're really trying to collect all the good eggs and put them in one basket.
So we're talking about money, and we're recording this at the end of 2023. This will be airing in 2024. We're entering tough economic times where everybody is strapped for money. Inflation is through the roof. Talk a little bit about the different types of divorces, and specifically why a long, drawn out, contentious divorce can really set you back compared to why an amicable divorce might really save you money in these times.
Absolutely. So generally speaking, there's three types of divorces, and the types are based on a couple of criteria. Who is doing the negotiating? Who is doing the decision-making, the cost of the process, and the time involved. So those are the four different things that are looked at in coming up with these different criteria. So the first is an uncontested divorce. And a lot of people misuse this term. But from the legal perspective, an uncontested divorce is where the parties are doing the negotiating. They have sat down themselves and they have come up with a kitchen table agreement to their satisfaction. They like the terms. They're fine with that. And a lot of people try to prepare that paperwork themselves and they're unable to do so. And so we always recommend that even if you think you've come up with a full agreement, you may need help getting it through the court. So any of our vetted professionals can help you. The middle of the road is amicable divorce, which is where people want to be uncontested. They really want to reach an agreement. They want to be child focused. They want to be financially reasonable. They just don't know how to do it. They might have complicated issues. They might have a small business. They might have no idea how to calculate child support, or perhaps they're a gray divorce that is approaching retirement and they want to be really careful about how they divide these assets. And so in that situation where parties want to reach a resolution, they can choose amicable divorce, which is where the negotiating can still occur between the parties, but now you have resolution-focused professionals involved as well who might bring in an expert to value that small business, as opposed to a contested divorce, which I'll talk about, where you would get two experts and double pay these very experienced people for their opinions. And so with an amicable divorce, we help the parties reach a resolution no matter how complicated the issues are. We have an out-of-court process. It's hosted on a sophisticated technology program that helps parties with asset and debt, organization and budgeting and all of these different aspects of a divorce case, helps them develop a parenting plan. So it really helps them every step of the way. And it's designed to be efficient, both financially and on the time scale, and to allow anybody who might be helpful to help the parties reach a resolution. We often use mediation as a tool to get parties to a resolution, which is highly successful. And then you have the other end of the divorce spectrum, which is a contested divorce. And so that's the kind that everybody thinks of. Somebody ran to the courthouse, they served the other party, you know, there's a judge sitting there and they're having these hearings. Again, even if parties do file with the court system, it's really rare, but you are saying, I want the judge to do the decision making. I want the judge to make the decisions in the case. I want the judge to set the timeline, because you're on the court's timeline. You know, if you have a vacation planned or a business trip or, you know, just life, too bad, so sad. The judge may call you in on that day to have a hearing, and it's their schedule. And this is also the most costly way to get divorced and also the most conflict ridden. The only way to get what you want in the family law system in a divorce case is to say negative things about the other side. And you have to hope that your pile of negative is bigger than their pile of negative. And then you might, you know, prevail on a particular point. There is no part of the family law system where two parties who are very reasonable people stand in front of the judge and say, we both had some really good ideas for how to do this parenting plan and how to calculate child support and alimony. But, you know, we just couldn't reach an agreement, but we're both good people. And we really just want a reason. The judge wouldn't even know what to do with you. The judge would be like, because that's not a thing. They want to hear all the dirt. They want to, you know, make the parties fight with one another. And it's just how the system is structured. The family law system does not value resolution because that doesn't really make any money for anybody. So the whole system is structured on people saying negative things about the other. And that's court. You know, you're handing it all over to a stranger judge to make the decisions about your family.
Yeah, I can't imagine. What's interesting is how valuable this education piece of it is. And I think generally women are preparing, they're thinking about divorce earlier. Men, sometimes they don't have time to study up, but it seems like more important than ever today to take a minute, even if you know you're going to get divorced, figure out the different routes, weigh the pros and cons to them. Because, you know, like you said, most people probably think a contested divorce is the way to go. And if you do it 5 minutes of research, it seems like that is something you want to avoid. You know, even if your only goal is, I don't want to spend that much money, like there's a reason in and of itself. Let's talk about, so there's a tricky thing happening right now where mortgage rates are a lot higher than they've ever been. People can't buy a new house because of that. They also can't leave their house. They can't sell their house. Where are they going to go? So now I'm living with this person that I just told I want to have a divorce. And instead of it, you know, all happening quickly, I get my place. Now I'm kind of like stuck. Have you seen that come up with clients? Like, what are your thoughts on this new dilemma?
That has been really the most interesting topic of the year, as well as the thing that's most different this year. I've been practicing for over 20 years, and this is the first time that I've really seen this, where people are really cemented in place. Generally with a divorce, somebody moves out, they establish a new residence, whether they're renting or buying, and they have choices and can find something in the school system, and people just move on with their lives. But we're really having a different situation right now. So when people try to unspouse their house during their divorce, they're having a lot of difficulty doing that. Because of mortgage interest rates, a lot of times somebody can't afford to buy another residence, or they have to wait on that equity in the current home. So they have to sell their home to get the money to afford the next residence. And what we're seeing is that people are having to live together longer and wait for the divorce to be finalized, perhaps for the sale of the home. And if you've chosen the route of a high conflict contested divorce, you've now just made, you know, a year or more of your life incredibly miserable, because the person you wanted to divorce is going to be in your home longer, or you're going to be tied together longer. So, it used to be very common for us to say one party was going to refinance the mortgage within 6 months and get the other person's name off and get them their equity. And it was so easy to do. Those were the days, and they are gone. Because now the refinance would cause the mortgage payment to be so high that person can't keep the house. And so there's no way to get the equity out. And so people are staying tied together longer jointly on this mortgage, living in the trust tree that the other person's going to pay it on time and not adversely affect their credit and all of these different aspects for sometimes up to 3 to 5 years because they're waiting on mortgage interest rates to drop. And we don't know if they will. I mean, the rates aren't as high as they were in the 90s, but they're certainly higher than we've seen in recent years. People aren't used to this. And so because they're not used to it, everybody's sort of freezing in place. People aren't selling houses, so there's no inventory. People aren't moving from houses because they can't afford to. Rentals are becoming very high and costly to be in because now everybody needs a rental. And so it is just this perfect storm of financial, real estate, sort of all tied up together. That when people are really trying to move on and move away, they're finding they're not financially able.
Which is ironic because all of those things are probably stressors on the marriage. So you would think, are people staying together more? Are you seeing divorces go down in frequency right now?
I haven't seen it go down. It's remained rather steady for what I've seen, but I'm luckily I have seen that people are getting smarter. I think people are really getting educated about the different types of a divorce and who they're hiring and what that should cost them. And so one of the important things I always tell people is when you meet with that divorce professional initially, discuss budget with them. I have been doing this over 20 years. I have never had a client come in and take the lead on saying, I need to get divorced and I can only afford for this divorce to cost XYZ. Nobody's ever said that to me. I'm asking them, you know, how much can you afford to spend on that? Listening to what they're wanting to accomplish in the case. Is that within their budget? Is it realistic? You know, how can we proceed and get this handled for their budget? Because it's just like anything else. You know, it's just like when you're building a house, for example, and you want all the bells and whistles in your divorce. You want, you know, all the things. And then they hand you the bill and you're like, I think we're going to, you know, cut out that extra bathroom and, you know, cut out some of these other things. It's just like anything else. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to convey your goals and your budget for those goals and to have the attorney tell you, is that reasonable? Is that something that we can accomplish for that budget? Because it's important to know that on the front end, as opposed to when you've gotten several bills from the attorney that you can't pay.
Yeah, especially I hear stories of people switching attorneys because they didn't like their attorneys and you're not getting that money back from the first one. So now you're double paying and you're saying asking the right questions, taking a minute to really have these uncomfortable conversations that are, you know, you've never had before is going to save you thousands of dollars, especially in today's climate.
Exactly. I think it's very interesting to see because I see these clients who unfortunately just you maybe went on Google or somehow hired one of these high conflict, high billing firms simply because they didn't know any better. And now they've lost a ton of money. They haven't moved their case at all down the road. And they're just stuck on this cycle, really caught up in this conflict that they really didn't want to begin with. I've mediated for parties who've said, we thought we had an uncontested divorce. We just hired this attorney to look this over and they've blown it up. And so that's important to know on the front end, research professionals, ask the right questions, know that you get to choose how you want to get divorced. Absolutely. Anywhere you are in the United States, Canada, or the United Kingdom, you can choose the divorce process that you want. You are not stuck with the court-only process.
Tracy, this was full of gold. Let people know where they can connect with you and learn more about the Amicable Divorce Network.
Sure. You can always look at amicabledivorcenetwork.com or divorceamicably.com. And if you want to reach out to me directly, you can at info@amicabledivorcenetwork.com. We have our member directory on both websites. So if you're looking for a professional near you, you can go there and search for them. And if you're just not finding anybody, you can always email us and we'll try to connect you with a good person in your area.
Thank you so much, Tracy. This was great.
Thanks, Rob.
The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedules, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. Here's Maddie to explain how Our Family Wizard changed her co-parenting life.
Before Our Family Wizard, my co-parent and I were constantly arguing. We disagreed on the cost of our kids' activities. We would fight over whose turn it was to pick up our daughter from school. We had absolutely no boundaries. Our Family Wizard has not only improved communication between us, but it has also saved my sanity. We use the shared calendars, expense tracking, and secure messaging on a daily basis. The ability to coordinate and share important information, plus manage expenses, has stopped the confusion and the fighting. This allowed us to put all our focus back on just enjoying the quality time we have with our kids.
Join more than 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard. Go to www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF and get free co-parenting tips and insights from family law and mental health experts. That's www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF to get started today.